All right, my sweet baboos, now's the time where you get your headphones on because explicit language and content is coming your way.
Dude, chick's a MILF.
The hell's that?
M-I-L-F. Mom, I'd like to f***.
Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah.
MILF. MILF. MILF.
Welcome to The Secret Life of MILFs, the not-so-secret podcast about being liberated and outspoken millennial moms. I'm Amy.
And I rehearsed what I'm going to say at the drive-thru 6 times minimum, Lindsay.
Does it give you that much anxiety?
Oh.
Are you?
And also when you're at the store and you're trying to put change back in your wallet and like the next person, they've already started scanning their stuff. I'll just take my shit and run.
Like, I was going to say, so then everything just gets dumped into your bag to figure out later?
Yes.
I do that too.
Which then it doesn't ever get done, so then I just have loose everything.
A bag of shit.
Yeah. It gets periodically cleaned out every once in a while.
My husband will make me lean across him in the car to order fast
for
food
yourself?
For the entire family. He can't. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just like, I'll tell you what I want. She'll tell you what she wants. No, you.
Oh, no, it's pretty much everybody. And then it's hilarious, I'm sure, for when they pull up and he's sitting in the driver's seat. And I'm hi. From the passenger side, lean over him again and say, hey, could I have some honey mustard too, please? It's the same thing with phone calls, though, too.
I don't think it's the same thing. Phone calls are scarier than drive-thrus.
He forces me to order food on the phone as well. So,
oh, I'm not going to order it on the phone. I'm going to online option only. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to see anybody. Just let me have my things.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Maybe this should be an entire show about all of the strange things that give us that moment of,
oh, that could go on. That's like the dumb shit that we used to do last week's episode, Cautionary Tales. I could go on forever about everything that makes me anxious and nervous.
Anxiety Tales, part one. Part,
Yeah, part, like, even thinking about it is making me
sorry. Sorry it made you uncomfortable. I'm sorry. I told everyone you had diarrhea in Barnes & Noble, and I'm sorry for repeating it now.
It's okay. I didn't prep anxiety things. I just have anxiety things. I prepped fun, am I the asshole questions for us to read and discuss and have some hot takes, see if anybody else agrees with us or not.
That's a perfect topic for today because I am getting very excited about the next episode of Keep Them Coming with Kristen Thomas because we're going to be on it soon. I don't know when, but I'm getting really excited. I may or may not have checked today to see if it was out.
The 22nd.
Oh, the 22nd. I couldn't remember. I blocked it all out.
Yeah, this show that we're doing right now is coming out the 20th, and then hers is coming out the 22nd.
So that will be out in 2 days. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
I did get some responses back saying how adorable it was, how fangirly we were over her.
Yes, I did too. Everybody loves Kristen.
I know. Everybody wants to hear more about her now, which you will.
Give it a couple days.
So excited.
I'm excited to hear it too.
Me too. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous because this is going to be the first time in a long time where I don't know what it sounds like ahead of time because I'm usually the one doing the editing.
It'll be good. It'll be fun.
Yes.
Do it again sometime.
Hell yes. So what are these Am I the Asshole posts that you saw? I've never actually been deep into Reddit.
Oh, it's super fun. It's the wild, wild west of the internet, I think. It's like, you think Twitter's crazy? Reddit is bananas. Ooh. So I have a few saved, and maybe I'll let you pick the ones that sound interesting. 2, maybe 3 or something like that.
Something that piques my interest.
Yeah. Okay. Option number one. Am I the asshole for not accommodating a child on a plane?
Okay.
Okay. Am I the asshole for sending my stepdaughter to boarding school?
Oh, is this all going to revolve around kids?
No.
Okay.
Option number three. Am I the asshole for not letting my mom and her boyfriend sleep in the same room / bed? Option four. Am I the asshole for sending my stepbrother the bill to pay half of my engagement dinner expenses after he turned it into a baby gender reveal?
Oh, let's go with that one. That sounds juicy.
Okay, there's two more options.
Oh, okay.
So there are six total. You picked your top three.
Okay. That's going to be in the top three, I think.
Okay. Am I the asshole for calling my mother-in-law crazy and kicking her out of my husband's house because she wants him to basically leave me?
Oh, that sounds like a good one, too.
And last but not least, am I the asshole for telling my friend that he got exactly what he wanted and he needs to stop being selfish? I'm doing that one regardless, so you get to pick the other two. So
okay.
We've got the selfish friend.
The stepbrother taking over the wedding thing,
reveal,
the baby shit, and then the mother-in-law one. Because I love a good episode of Everybody Loves Raymond and the crazy mother-in-law, so yeah.
Okay. We will start with, am I the asshole for sending my stepbrother the bill to pay half of my engagement dinner expenses after he turned it into a baby gender reveal? Context about family dynamics. Me, female, 26, and my stepbrother, Ethan, in quotation marks, so fake name, 30-year-old male, met when we were very young. He grew up being very competitive towards me and acted like we were in some sort of race in everything. For example, he broke his finger on my graduation day and my parents couldn't attend. He decided to put his dog down at my birthday and turned it into a sad anniversary and hated my parents for celebrating my birthday instead of mourning his dog. And he also got married on her mom's death anniversary.
Bro, what the fuck?
That's the contextual background.
Context is, you're an ass. He's an asshole. He's an asshole. The end.
Point. Look at Amy with hot takes before we even read it.
It's all over. Next one.
Years later, he seemed to mature and be respectful. We see each other at gatherings hosted by my stepmom. And Ethan said he wants me to be an aunt for his future kid he and his wife are expecting. Days ago was my engagement dinner. It was held in a prestigious restaurant that cost me and fiancé, Morgan, lots of money. Ethan and sister-in-law showed up unexpectedly, and they congratulated us. Then Ethan finished his drink later and announced the gender of his baby he and his wife were expecting, proudly saying, "We just found out, and it's a boy, everyone." It was completely out of the blue. The family got excited. They ordered another round of drinks, started playing Guess the Name We Chose, and chiming in with suggestions. Me, my fiancé, and my mother-in-law were sitting watching how this dinner turned into a gender reveal party. We were ignored until the end of the event. Morgan was livid, saying Ethan was acting like a high school attention-seeking bitch and ruined our night by stealing the spotlight and redirecting it on him and his family. I said we had to do something to at least do damage control after spending money on a hijacked event. He looked at me and asked, "What do you have in mind?" I immediately sent Ethan the bill for half of everything Morgan and I had paid for, with a brief explanation as to why he was expected to pay. He called yesterday and was going hysterical, saying, "I can't make him pay for jack shit when I was the one who invited him." But I did not invite him, nor his wife. He argued that he came to the party after my stepmom told him he was invited, and he didn't intend on hijacking anything. Someone asked a question about the baby, and he answered, just repeating, "It just happened," and that it wasn't his fault people got interested. I said he still had to pay, but he talked about how this wasn't even about him or his wife, so I can't claim they were being malicious, then stopped and asked, "Are you being jealous of a baby presumably stealing your night? That's your nephew." I called him crazy for jumping to such a conclusion, and as response, he said he owed me nothing and that I had to stop making unreasonable, entitled demands. I had a fight with him, and he called my stepmom. She said she told me to knock it off and it didn't matter since my fiance is well off and I can always have a second engagement dinner if it's such a big deal. I refused and demanded that he pay. He and his wife explained how I should be focusing on being an aunt rather than punishing them like that. Yes, I did say that if he doesn't pay, then he won't be at the wedding. Am I the asshole?
No. Just fucking no. You no. He's a stepbrother.
I
fuck you, Brennan. Like, God. You need to be medicated.
I don't think he should probably offer to pay something, I feel like.
Yeah.
That would be the courteous thing to do, to be like, hey, sorry we kind of hijacked it. I'll pick up the bar tab or
yes.
something. Or offer to pay for something for the wedding that maybe is like comparable in value, potentially. But I don't think she's the asshole for bringing it to his attention that he was being a selfish fucking baby.
Right. Did I call? Did I say yes, she was the asshole? I was. Yeah. I no. did. Did I?
Oh, you...
I don't know what the fuck I said. What I meant to say is that he's
were,
the
you
asshole.
Were calling, he was, yeah. I think yes. You were agreeing that he was the asshole. So I think you're.
As I am relatively new to Twitter, I am new to Reddit. So I'm learning as we go.
It's okay. Yeah. See, sometimes you got to hold your judgment till the end. But there are sometimes where you can read the description and just, yes.
You can read the writing asshole. On the fucking walls, which you can do and say, listen, motherfucker. Now I'm confused as to the relationship. So when she said the stepmom, is she talking
it's
about
his mom,
his mother, his mom. Her stepmom?
Yeah.
Okay.
The stepmom is taking his side.
Of saying, course.
Yeah, because that's her son.
Well, having had three ex-asshole stepbrothers of my own, who can all go fuck themselves.
Yes, they can.
Yes. Yes, they can.
With a rusty rake.
Shiv.
I'm trying to think of something big.
Yeah, right?
Big and painful.
Yeah. I would side with this woman and say that, no, yeah. You're not being an asshole. You can't truly expect him to pay for anything because he is the asshole and is not mm-hmm. going to, because he sounds yes. like he's kind of fucked up and needs some therapy. So.
Yes. Yes. Everybody needs therapy. I mean, the whole, like, competing with her, like, that's got to be some weird unconscious thing that he does.
Right. And was he an only child? How old were they when they first met? I've got some more questions that will not be answered. But I do have more questions as to the familial relationships in this family.
This was posted about 10 days ago. Resoundingly, the comments agree she is not the asshole.
No, definitely not.
Okay. What was the other one?
Crazy mother-in-law.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Am I the asshole for calling my mother-in-law crazy and kicking her out of my husband's house because she wants him to basically leave me?
I already have questions. My husband's house, not your house, your husband's house? Is it your? Okay, maybe we'll learn. I'm ready. Go
know.
Ahead.
I don't know.
We'll fight.
I don't remember. I don't know if that's addressed or not. My, so 24 female, husband, who's a 25 male, and I just had a beautiful baby girl 2 months ago. His mom is a self-made entrepreneur, and she's honestly an inspiration to me. She's strong, intelligent, had fought hard for everything she owns, and before I got pregnant, we got along just fine. She supported me in my professional decisions and never showed any signs to not approve of our relationship. When we told my husband's parents that we were pregnant, his dad congratulated us and looked so happy to be a grandfather. His mom, not so much. She quickly asked us what we were going to do, and if we wanted to abort, she'd support us.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Already questions are bubbling.
She believed that we both had promising futures, and if we had a baby this early in our careers, we'll never fulfill our dreams. But my husband and I assured her that we had everything planned. We both agreed that I was going to dedicate a year to our daughter, and then I was going to get back out on the field. We never asked them for a penny, and neither of us waited for them to fund our new lifestyle. My mother-in-law didn't like it. My husband has a good job. He's just enrolled himself in a master's program, and now he's going to be a father and the breadwinner of the house. For her, it was too much on his shoulders. So a few days ago, she came to my house and proposed an experiment to me. She told me that during the rest of the year that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom, I could go back to my parents. This will allow my husband to come home and rest after a long day of work or school. And during the weekends, he could go to me and visit us if he had the energy to do so. I said that wasn't fair since she was our daughter and not just mine, and that she couldn't expect my husband to not have any kind of responsibility towards her. She said that after I ruined my husband's life with an early baby, that's the least I could do. That I was going to grow comfortable after 1 year of basically doing nothing. And that if my husband was lucky, this would end in divorce, which for her is the best outcome. I couldn't believe what she was proposing to me and told her that she was crazy for even thinking that, and that our baby didn't appear magically in my belly. I kicked her out, and when my husband came home, I told him everything. We decided to cut contact with his mom, but I can't get over the fact that she said I ruined his life out of my head. I'm not planning on being a stay-at-home mom forever, and to be honest, I do want to get back to work. I'm an architect while my husband is an engineer, and I very much enjoy my career. He does come home tired from work, but our baby isn't a big problem. She doesn't rip her lungs out when she cries, and we get her to calm very easily. Also, it's not like I'm home doing nothing. I do small projects for my friend's firm every now and then as a freelancer. I have a position waiting there for me. My husband and I decided that I had to remain available for our daughter the first year in case anything happens because this is our first baby. Is she the asshole? Definitely not. Definitely not the asshole. The mother-in-law is the asshole.
The mother-in-law can fuck all the way off and get fucking bent. Because what? Now, this brings up so many questions for me of, is her son an only child? Does she have any other children to focus on? How old is she? What's her fucking deal?
I don't know. I don't know. But, I mean, granted, 24 and 25 to have your first kid, that's a little bit on the younger side of things, maybe.
It is. But they're a fucking architect and an engineer. They've clearly done the math.
Right. They're like, smart. They're capable. They're making good money.
Yeah, exactly. They're not me living in a fucking beach town working in a snack shack before getting my break on the radio. Like, what? I wasn't married either, but that's not the point at 24. But shit, lady. Talk about completely inserting yourself into your son's life in the most disrespectful way ever.
And I just think the fact that she had such a good relationship with her daughter-in-law prior to the pregnancy announcement, like it seemed that was what snapped for the mother-in-law. So is she resentful to her own children for not being further in her career because of all of the sexism?
Right.
The workplace and how women do earn less than men, and because we take time off to have kids.
Right. At first, I almost thought, oh, she's like a diehard feminist, but then we're going to treat her man child like a baby.
That this 25-year-old man can't work a full-time job and do his master's program and come home to a wife and child. No.
That's not how that works.
Projection much, ma'am? What's going on? What's going on in your head? That's what I want to know.
Is her deal? Grappling with her own humanity? Does she think she's too young to be a grandmother? Does she think, what is happening?
Maybe. If he's 25, I mean, she could, in theory, be under 50. She could definitely still be in her 40s.
Yeah.
And so maybe that is part of where she was like, do you just want to abort it? I'm cool with that if you want to kill it.
Jesus Christ.
That was so fucked up.
Family dynamics. Talk about letting your freak flag show. You're letting your crazy out. You better tuck that back in because
your whole ass is showing. The entire thing. The moon is out.
Those onesies with the buttons on the back. Your ass cheeks are out.
Flapping in the breeze.
What? Like, what? I can't even imagine being put in that situation and having this woman that you think you have this rapport with, the mother of your husband, coming to your home and having the fucking audacity, the unmitigated gall to say this to your face. Like, she's got some beach ball sized lady nuts, because shit. Like, wow.
Beach ball sized lady nuts trademark.
Oh, I'm sitting here shaking my head just in utter horror of, God, these families are fucked up, man.
Right? I know. I kind of am like, okay, maybe my family's not so bad.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Mine's bad.
Every family's bad. Not that bad, though. Shit.
Yeah, why are you not excited about your grandchild? Why are you thinking that this is a life-ruining event?
Yeah.
Like, I can see maybe at first, when they first announced the pregnancy, might take a little time to digest that, but the baby's here.
Right.
And everybody's doing okay. It doesn't sound like dad is drowning at work between responsibilities. If anything, offer to fucking help pay for a housekeeper or
babysit.
You know, babysit, cook them dinner a night or two. It just, yeah, help. Don't. This is not helping.
This is hurting. Help, hurting don't me. Hurt. This is fucking unhealthy is what that is.
Yeah. Moms who are obsessed with their adult son, that whole thing is weird to me.
I'm going to try very, very hard not to be that woman.
I don't think I got the whole mothers and sons thing until you had your son and seeing how you feel about your son. Not that you love your son more than your daughter or anything, but it's just a different kind of special connection. I was like, oh, okay, I kind of get it.
Yeah. I've explained this to Linz before, just that if my son turns out to be heteronormative and, you know, marries a woman, I won't be his favorite woman anymore. I won't be his favorite. And that's going to be okay, because it is the circle of fucking life. I am okay with that. Maybe a tiny part of me will die inside, but I'm not going to let that show. I'm going to tell you about that in private. Yes. I'm not going to harass my daughter-in-law.
Right. You discuss it with therapy. Maybe it does stir up some emotions, but you don't project that. You don't vomit that onto your child. It's not their responsibility.
And you don't vomit it onto his chosen partner.
Nope.
And I don't feel this way about my daughter, because I, in a lot of ways, feel that in certain situations, in certain relationships, mothers and daughters are always close, because as I'm saying this out loud, I know this is not the case.
It's true of your relationship with your mom.
Right. That's why I think that way.
Yeah, you have such a strong bond with your mom. It's no question to you that you wouldn't have that same kind of connection with your daughter.
Exactly. That's what I strive for with my daughter. Like, I know she's not going anywhere. She's going to be my best friend later in life. Yeah. Can't be your best friend now. Got to be a parent. No. But with my son, it's almost, you know, have to let him go, have to let him be with another woman.
Maybe he'll be gay and then you can still always be.
And then I'll get to be the number favorite. One. That'd be
number
fun.
One woman.
Oh, yeah. My therapist is on vacation, but I think I need to write this down to talk about when she gets back.
I don't think it would hurt as he gets older and starts to show interest in having crushes on girls or boys or whatever at school.
That's true.
Has he come home and said that he likes anybody at school? Is he hinting at any of that?
I overheard him telling my daughter the other day in the kitchen something about that he has a crush on a little girl named Julia.
Oh, Julia.
I know. And then when I asked him, he goes, oh, you heard that? And I said, well, who's that? I said, is it someone from your class? He goes, yeah. And I was like, okay. Just like trying to make this is not a big deal.
Right. I'm not making fun of you. Nope. This is not funny.
I'm not, like, exactly, because this is the kid that does not like to be laughed at. But this is also the kid that wears nail polish to school. So, you know.
He is just walking to the beat of his own drum. We love that about him.
Yes, he is.
He is very confident in who he is, do you think?
I think to a degree, but it has to be his idea to have attention on him, because if it's not his idea, he is not about it. I forgot to tell you this. So we went to the New York State Fair, and in the dairy building, they had this photo shoot thing set up where you could have pictures taken and you do a succession of three pictures and it would be turned into a GIF. And then the GIF, and then the GIF would be texted to your phone. So I don't really know what the slogan was. It was something about how, you know, milk makes your bones strong and you're like a ninja. And so they're like, there's this superimposed ninja man doing karate moves, and then you're supposed to do karate moves next to him, and then you're superimposed together so it looks like you're with this person that's not actually there. My son was all about it. He's like, hell yeah, let's do it. And I have to send this to you, but the succession of pictures, it goes from smiling, not happy, don't want to be here.
He was like, I regret my choices.
Well, that's because
milk was a bad choice.
Milk was a bad choice. And that's because his sister, being the ham that she is, was doing it up. And I don't think he liked that. So, and then with us standing around and my mom standing there, and then the three or four kids that were probably between the ages of 18 and 22, all, oh my God, and like laughing and stuff because they're adorable. He did not like that. I have to send this to you. It's fucking hilarious.
Smiling, annoyed, pissed.
That's exactly, yes, that is exactly how it went.
Oh, sweet baby. Mm-hmm. So they did it together. It wasn't one-on-one with the ninja.
Correct. I just sent it to you right now.
Yeah, that last one, he was starting to try and hide.
Yeah, he was.
He's like, nope, nope, on a nope right out of here.
Well, if it had just been the standing and smiling, they did not understand the assignment. The assignment was to do karate moves for all three pictures, and they stood there.
They were like, cheese.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, milk moves me.
Yes.
You're gonna need milk for that. This must be the new Got Milk campaign.
Probably.
That's fun.
Yep, so.
This one I very much liked.
Okay.
Am I the asshole for telling my friend that he got exactly what he wanted and he needs to stop being selfish? Hmm. I have an old college friend, Nick, who's a 32 male. He has a fiance, Sophie, 24 female. They've been together for 3 years, and Nick has repeatedly suggested an open relationship, to which Sophie has refused.
Okay.
Until a few months ago, when he said he would only propose if she agreed to try an open relationship.
I think I've heard this. Is this new?
It's from a few weeks ago.
I may have heard this, but go on.
It's great Schadenfreunde, so.
What does that mean?
It's a German word that has no English equivalent. It's when you feel like smug that someone at someone else's misfortune.
Say it again.
Schadenfreunde.
I'll have to run that by my inmate 69, see if he likes my German pronunciation.
It's one of those words that I always thought was Schadenfreude or something like that. But my boyfriend speaks German and went to Germany when he was in college.
Of course he does.
So I always have to ask him, how you say Schadenfreude? He's like Schadenfreunde. So he's pronounced it for me enough.
Schadenfreunde.
Schadenfreunde.
Cool.
Feeling smug of someone else's
misfortune. I like it. I have felt that before.
Trump losing the election. That was a very big Schadenfreunde moment.
Yes.
I had a Schadenfreunde orgasm. Anyway. Okay. He's only going to propose if she agrees to try. So she agrees. I said to him at the time that this, he was an ass for it. And he said he was just acting in his best interest. Now, Nick wanted an open relationship so that he could see Anna, a 29-year-old female, who's a girl we know from college who he's always had a thing for, but she was married when she was 18 to 26, so he never had a chance until recently. He hasn't had a chance to see her yet because she had been living with her sick mom and they can't afford to rent a hotel room. Now, the issue is that Nick showed up at my house last weekend with a suitcase, absolutely livid, and asked to crash on my couch. He said Sophie had gone to dinner and had sex with a male model and that she was cheating because he hadn't had a chance to see Anna and it was unfair for her to see someone so much hotter than Anna. Not that Anna isn't attractive. I basically laughed at him and told him this is exactly what was going to happen and that he was being selfish, expecting Sophie not to see anyone or to see people less attractive than her. She's very attractive, and I don't know why she's with Nick, to be honest. He went off on me for not being supportive and stormed out, trying to turn our friend group against me for not supporting him. I've taken a few days to think about it, but I still can't decide. Am I the asshole?
Hot take. Fuck no, you're not. No! Not the fucking asshole. He's the fucking asshole. Once again.
Yes, the top comment. Well, well, well. If it isn't the consequences
of my own actions.
Ding, 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 ding. It's like, fuck around and find out, buddy.
Right?
Or don't fuck around and your girlfriend will.
Yeah, and she'll beat you to the fucking punch.
That's what you... Because I swear, every time that we hear these stories of people doing this, let's do this. It's the guy wanting to because he's got this specific person in mind.
He's got an idea.
He's got something to prove or something like that. And then the girl is always the one getting all the dates and getting all the hookups because literally we can fuck pretty much whoever we want to.
I was just about to say, men want to keep their options open. Women, we don't have to keep our options open. They're always open. They are lined up at the fucking door. Ding dong.
Yes. Yes.
At all
times. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter your marital status. Doesn't matter your weight. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter what you look like, frankly.
No, not really. You got a warm hole I can stick it in.
Uh-huh. I was sent a TikTok from a listener of ours, and in the TikTok it said, women shop for dick like they're shopping for cars. Yes. Oh, so can it give me a long ride? Is it going to? This is not exactly how this went. I think I'm paraphrasing it very wrong. But, you know, what does it look like?
Right.
Oh, it's pretty. Oh.
Oh, it's a little banged up.
Oh, it's a little banged up. Something
it's a
about
grower, not a shower.
You know, where do I park it? And then the guys are like, the opposite saying, oh, trying to find a spot to park your car. Here's a spot. Here's a spot. Here's another spot. This did not work out well. Never mind. Shit.
You're like,
don't you
that.
Love that? It sounded so good right, at first.
Like,
and then.
Right. It's okay.
But you get what I'm saying.
I do.
We do have
options.
Fucking men is like fishing with dynamite. It's too easy.
Yes. That's why I have no game when it comes to women. Women literally have to fall into my lap for me to realize that they're interested in me.
I'm like,
I just thought you were just being nice. You want to fuck me.
Face first into your lap.
Basically. Or shove me face first into their lap or something. And I'm like, oh.
Right. Okay, well, I think that, honestly, I think most women feel that way, whether you're a lesbian, whether you're bi, whether you're questioning.
Yeah.
You just don't. Yeah, because women can be very complimentary to each other. And I'm sorry, you can make some of the best friends of your life if you're at a bar at 1 o'clock in the morning with drunk girls when you're in the stall and you say, should I text him? And you hear a resounding chorus of, no! Exactly. Oh my God, you're like so pretty.
You're so beautiful. You can do so much better.
Exactly.
I love your skirt. You're so pretty. Oh my God, we're so pretty. Look at us. We're so pretty.
Exactly.
I've been that girl.
I've heard that girl.
I hope all of the girls that I have connected with in bar bathrooms are having a really great fucking day today.
I hope they're having a great fucking life.
Yeah.
So
isn't that weird to think about? Like, we cross paths with these like literal strangers. We have these heart-to-heart moments for a split second in time. We never see them again, but they impact us. We all remember collectively the drunk girl camaraderie in the bathroom. It's weird.
You also remember some really, really weird shit that happens in the bathroom, too.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Do you know? I must have told you this story. I was at a pizza place at 2:30 in the morning. Bars are closed. My spouse and a friend of ours are out waiting in line to order pizzas or like calzones or something.
Time out. How old are you and when is this?
Oh, this was in the past like 3 years.
Oh, okay. Which, this is not a college story.
Oh, no.
This
which makes this even more shocking. So
if you told me this, I don't remember. So this is like a brand new story for me. Great.
These girls were college girls. Me, not a college girl. Just at a college place to get a calzone after hitting the bars.
Gotcha.
I went into the bathroom, and I've never seen anything like this, nor do I expect to ever see it again. Two girlfriends, one sitting on the toilet peeing, and her friend behind her and vomiting into the toilet.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And initially, when I told this story, people are like, she was between her legs throwing up. And I'm like, no. To clarify, she was behind her.
Throwing up in the tank?
Into the toilet. That
Ow.
Her friend was peeing.
Over her shoulder?
No. Kneeling on the floor with her face practically pressed up to her friend's butt cheeks. As her friend is sitting on the toilet peeing.
Okay, so I picture it now. See, I was thinking maybe they were both straddling it. She was riding behind her side saddle and leaning over her to throw up. Then I thought maybe she was throwing up into the tank of the toilet.
No.
She was throwing up by her butt.
Right. And then to boot, not vomit boot, but to boot, they both had full-on conversations with me in between vomiting and wiping and asking me if I wanted to like hang out and the one that was sitting to pee was trying to push the door of the bathroom stall that I was now in because I walked past this because their door was wide open.
Of course.
And trying to open the door to have a conversation with me as I'm trying to pee. I was not intoxicated enough at this moment. And I'm trying to hover with an arm out to try and keep the door closed as they're trying to come in and talk to me. And I think I looked like a shell shock victim when I walked out of the bathroom because my spouse and Freddie were like, what the fuck happened in there? And I was, you don't want to know.
You don't want to know.
And even better, Freddie's wife listens to the podcast. So
hi, Freddie's wife.
So, Laura, if you're washing the dishes while you're listening, hope you enjoyed that little tidbit. I don't know if Freddie would remember that story or not, but it was fucking bananas.
You remember what they were trying to talk to you about?
I blocked it out, frankly, because I was so shocked that this was happening. I'm like, is this a flashback? It's like being in college, but I'm old AF.
Yeah. Oh, man, I remember that, of jamming you and all of your girlfriends into the same bathroom stall. Like, it would take less time rather than just wait in line individually.
Yeah.
But we're all going to go into this one stall. There's like four of us, and one of us has got to shit, one of us has got to pee, and the rest are throwing up.
Yeah. God, that was traumatizing.
That is.
You know, so I went to a wedding as a plus one with my girlfriend a few weeks ago, sorority sister. She is technically my big sister, my sorority, but I'm older than her because she just happened to go through the pledging process before me. But we went to the wedding and she went to the bathroom and followed me in. And it was just like the old days. Just come on in, close the door. Everyone's peeing at the same time. It was just normal.
Those habits don't stop.
That's right.
Even though you haven't seen each other in years.
Exactly. Thank you for listening this week to The Secret Life of MILFs. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, and If you enjoyed today's episode, the best way that you can help us grow, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening.
If you'd like to follow along on social media, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Secret Life MILFs.
And if you'd like to be featured in a future episode, send us an email at thesecretlifeofmilfs@gmail.com or check out our website, The Secret MILFs. The Secret... Shit.
Oh my God, keep that fucking blooper, The Secret MILFs.
We are Secret MILFs. We're not Secret MILFs. We're fucking public MILFs. Out in public.
You threw me into public. I was out in public.
I was not in public and you threw me into public. If you'd like to be featured in a future episode, send us an email at thesecretlifeofmilfs@gmail.com or check out our website at thesecretlifeofmilfs.com.
Tune in next Monday, every Monday, for...
Milf! 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 Oh my God.